The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Back, Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. Hey everyone, this is Steve.
And I'm Matthew.
This is episode 31, helping youth workers to keep going.
Episode 31 coming out, if I believe, the day before Halloween.
Oh. It's our Halloween episode.
Are you gonna like put some nice sound effects on there, Steve?
I think I will.
Okay, awesome.
Well, yeah, we'll do a little post-production fun here. So yeah, tomorrow's Halloween, and that's pretty exciting for if you have little kids in your family and you're going out collecting boatloads of candy. Does anybody come to your house?
No.
You guys live like
we live kind of off
the state road.
Off the beaten path. We have purchased full-size candy bars in the past, hoping that if anyone actually braves all the way to our house, they deserve a full-size candy bar.
You just bought those because you know nobody's coming.
And then I just tear into them for weeks after. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing.
Nobody comes to our house either because we live in this neighborhood that's, you know, it's older now, so almost everybody's retired or nearing completion of their life. So there's
not a lot of kids.
There are no kids. We had like 7 kids last year at our house.
Oh, wow.
It's pathetic. So
you guys have some candy to tear into after as well.
We do. It's perfect.
Beautiful.
In fact, we may still have last year's candy.
Ooh.
It may still be in the cupboard.
Well, you can just put that out this year.
There we go. That's what we're going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's very exciting Halloween if you have younger kids, but it can be a bit of a predicament if you're a youth pastor that has Wednesday night programming, because here it is, Halloween.
I know.
On a youth group night.
Yeah. You asked me earlier what we're doing tomorrow night, and the truth is I'm not really sure.
Well, you have a middle school director.
I know. It's up to him. He's just going to have group. I don't know if there's anything special about it. We're not doing a big pumpkin party this year, and so, you know, I think he's just going to see who comes.
What have you done, you know, on high school nights when it falls on a Sunday? Because then it falls on a Sunday
night again. That bothers me because I'm like, high school kids, why do you even care about Halloween? What are you, like 6?
I know.
Get over it.
Yep, true.
But they still don't show up.
I know, right. It's a low night, right?
It is bad.
Yeah. I can recall 2 Halloweens that it fell on a Sunday. One of them, my kids begged me, we want to have a Halloween party. We want to have a costume party. Mm. And I was like, yeah, all right, okay, bring your friends. If we make it a bring a friend thing,
okay,
and you think you'll bring your friends, I'm down. Let's give it a go. And so we had this Halloween party, and it was a costume party, and it was a disaster.
Oh, no.
It really was. So one of my students, who actually was interning for me, he was a high school senior, he was a football player. I mean, a husky young man.
I know who you're referring to.
You know who I'm referring to. And he went to Target or Walmart or something, and he bought a youth husky large Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle like onesie and wore it. And it was all kinds of inappropriate on him. It was so small. It was disturbing.
There were some bulges taking place?
Yes, there were. He left nothing to the imagination. Let's just put it that way. And then another kid
I think I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
God bless them. They actually brought a friend from school, non-church-going friend, to this party.
Good.
Well, unfortunately, they wore a naughty nurse outfit. That was their costume, which was also super awkward and weird. And it was the last time I ever agreed to do a costume party.
You had the naughty nurse and you had the bulging young man.
Young Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. It was a disaster of epic proportions.
So the next time
that it landed on Halloween, I had this idea that we would go reverse trick-or-treating. And so I told everyone, show up at church with candy. And then we went out into the neighborhood. Our churches are in a neighborhood and it's lots of kids.
Yeah, I've heard of churches doing that.
We went out and we actually delivered candy to people who were giving out candy to little kids. And it was great. We had a little note from the church. Hey, just wanted to say hi from our church. And it redeamed the Halloween party from years before.
I have the perfect formula for success for your next let's take candy to the neighborhood.
Not costumes.
No.
Okay. I thought you were saying.
No, I'm just imagining if everyone went out in bulging Mutant Ninja Turtle costumes and naughty nurse costumes, people would remember you.
Oh, yes.
It would be a memorable thing. People would know the name of your church.
I'm not sure in the way we're hoping that they know the name of our church. But anyway.
We're really excited because we're only a couple weeks away from our trip to St. Louis.
Yes, the National Youth Workers Convention. Youth Ministry Sherpa is going to represent at booth 523.
Is that what it is?
I believe it's 523.
That's pretty fun. We're really excited to meet people, hand out stickers. We have some prizes, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And it's only made possible because we just finished up a little crowdsourcing funding that we did, our little Indiegogo account.
It was fantastic.
And some people... The people actually gave us money.
It's incredible. The people entrusted some funds to us. Do they even know what we are all
about? I think they do, and that's what's really cool about it is they're excited about what we're doing, excited to support us. And so we wanted to give a little shout out to some of the people. Well, actually, to all of the people.
Yeah, everybody who gave us something.
Yep. So shout out to Jesse and Emily Toasten. Jesse was one of the first interns at my church. Went through our youth program and loved Jesse and Emily, and they gave some money.
Shout out to the Lazo family, their beloved family in our church. I had their boys in the youth ministry, and Karen, the mom, was on my youth leader staff, so we love them very much.
Yep, super happy that Matt and Heather Abbott and their wonderful family gave us some money. They're a fun family, just a blast to be around.
Cool. And Jim Newberry, he's a good friend of mine. He's also my coach and just a real encouragement for this podcast. So thanks, Jim.
Yep. Chris and Nikki Jones, so appreciative of your support for the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast. Had their daughter on a few Peru trips, and they're just a great family.
Shout out to Jason and Crystal Keckler, friends of ours, and just thank you so much for your support. Their gift was given in memory of their great son, Justin.
That's awesome. Shout out to Edgy McHenry, my great, wonderful friend from Brazil. chaperoned a few of our Peru trips. Just a great gal. Has a daughter the same age as my oldest son. And so just super thankful for their support.
And thanks to Rob and Donna Batten. Rob is one of those youth ministry heroes. He's been a volunteer in youth ministry for most of his adult life.
And
he
very
is
cool.
Fantastic, and he never wears shoes.
Oh, love it. Absolutely love it. Shout out to Marion and Troy Bennett. Marion's the communication director at our church and just a huge encourager of me and my ministry, and she loves the Sherpas.
And to my son, Jonathan. He loves me, and he gave me a little bit of money. You know, I've paid for a few things for him over the years.
It was nice that he returned the favor.
He was thinking of me, and he's in marketing, and he's been a big encouragement to me and giving me lots of good advice on all these endeavors. So thanks, John.
That's awesome. Shout out to Charity and Elliot Chin, a couple of former students of mine that are now raising a family in our church. Very fun to watch. In fact, if you follow Elliot Chin on Instagram, every now and again, they have two very small children. Mm-hmm. And so he posts about toddler Sherpas. He's thinking about starting his own podcast.
Okay,
thank you for your support, Elliot and Charity.
Cool. I want to thank Kathleen and Bill Lambrose. I had their daughters in our youth ministry, and for some reason, they just love me. I don't know why, but they're awesome, so thank you guys.
That's cool. A gift from Jennifer and Rick Schrock, some great friends of our family and a great family at our church. In fact, their oldest daughter just married your middle school pastor, Steve. So
what was she thinking?
Super thankful for the Schrocks.
Thanks to Josh Ott. Josh is speaking at our fall retreat in a couple weeks, and he's fantastic. He's a big encouragement to us also. You can follow him on YouTube at Josh Ott, and he's got all kinds of great teaching up there.
Very cool. Special thanks to Ed and Kathy Vigezzi, some good friends of ours. We've known them through our kids' schools for the years, and they also go to our church now, and just super great people.
Thanks to John Powell, another one of my former students, who just out of the blue, I haven't seen John in a long time, and he gave to our Indiegogo. Pretty cool.
That is really cool, and big shout out to Rachel and Jason Woolahan for their support. Rachel and I work together on a team that do an event at our church, and they're just a lot of fun to hang out with.
Cool. And Andrew Kindred, another one of my former students. I just had lunch with him last week. He's a cool kid, and just he felt like he wanted to support us. So thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
So again, we're super thankful for everybody who gave to the Indiegogo and allowing us to go to the National Youth Workers Convention and exhibit for the Sherpas. And we're excited to see what the next chapter of Sherpas is after getting to meet 4,000 or 5,000 youth pastors.
Yeah, we're excited to see you. We're expecting you to come up and say hello to us. So if you're going to be at the conference, you got to make sure you stop by booth number
523.
523.
Look for the cardboard llama.
Is that what we're doing?
I thought we were doing a cardboard llama.
We did talk about that.
All right, we talked about it. We didn't agree on it, but I guess we've now committed to having a cardboard cutout
unless
llama.
Unless we can come up with a real one, which is not likely.
Not likely, but I'll try. I have some connections
we'll see
to St.
What
Louis.
We can. Oh, do you really?
I do.
Okay.
I don't know if they're llama connections, but I know people in St. Louis.
Well, we thought we'd just have a little bit of fun with this episode today. We're going to talk about Halloween and scary moments
scary
in
moments.
Youth ministry, some of the funny things that we've experienced over the years that, you know, put a little fright into us at times.
At times, for sure.
Yeah, because what's youth ministry if you're not scaring students a few times
a
year,
either scaring students or being scared because you're in charge of students.
Well, that's always a scary thing.
Oh, one of the very first things I ever chaperoned, it was already planned actually before I got to the church, again, 20 years old, brand new, and we had a whitewater canoeing trip planned, a day trip.
Uh-huh.
And evidently, we'd gotten a lot of rain, and so the river was a little higher than normal because this was a frightening experience to be a part of, and the whole experience was frightening. But I do remember being in a canoe right mm-hmm. behind two girls that mm-hmm. that were in the youth group, two high school girls. And I remember watching one of them kind of just, they hit a rock or a log or something and, you know, over one of them went into the water. And I'm right behind it. And you're kind of like, oh, ha, ha, that's funny. She's in the water. And then you're like, wait, where is she?
She's still in the
water.
She's
not coming up.
Yeah.
So as we go by, I mean, the water is actually crystal clear. It's really cool. As we go by, I look down and I can see her on the bottom of the river trapped under a log.
No way.
Eyes as big as saucers. I mean, you could just tell. And so, of course, I panicked. I just jumped out. I dove down. This girl had the biggest head of hair I've ever seen on a human being.
Oh.
And I literally grabbed her by the hair and just yanked and pulled her out and she popped right up and everything
was
fine. But
that's terrifying.
I was losing my mind because I was like, I'm going to lose a student on my
first thing.
Oh my goodness. It was crazy. I was scared. And the rest of the trip then, the whole time down, I was just like on edge. I could not.
No kidding.
Because I'm just waiting for the next person to go over and think, oh, what is going to happen? Am I bringing all these kids home? Oh, it was crazy.
It's terrifying.
We never went on that trip again. I never planned. It was called, the place was called, and you can't make this stuff up, Ding's Dock was the name of the outfitting place that put us in canoes.
Is that the same place that sold the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle costume to your intern?
Maybe. But trust me, we never went back. And I apologize if anyone from Wisconsin is listening and loves Ding's Dock. I did not love Ding's Dock.
I don't think I can continue now.
Sorry.
I'm just imagining. Well, anyway. So, yeah, I got stuck under one of the rafts one time on a whitewater rafting trip with students, too. I mean, I was under. The raft was on top of me, and I was under it. There was a little pocket of air in there, and it was stuck on a rock. And I remember thinking, this isn't fun anymore.
No.
And I was under there probably 30 seconds and managed to swim under and get out. But, man, that's scary stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah. Did you ever lose a kid?
ish. So here in Maryland at this church, the church I'm currently serving at, we had an amusement park trip and went to the amusement park, had a flawless system for checking the kids in at the end of the day and getting them on the bus to return home. So everyone checked in at the checkpoint, which was the gate of the park, and then was told to walk directly to the bus and get on the bus. Everybody checked in. We got on the bus, and I counted and got the right number of people.
Okay.
All right, bus driver, let's roll.
Systems go. Let's go
and
home.
We are about a mile. You know, we haven't even left the – technically, we had not left the parking lot yet because, you know, you wind out of these parking lots. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, wait a minute – a student got dropped off at the park that morning but was riding the bus home. So my number
–
I'm off one. We're missing a kid.
Okay.
And so I say, bus driver, I need you to turn around. We need to go back. As that's happening, my cell phone starts to ring.
Mm.
And I think, what's the chances this is the parent of the child I just left behind? And I look at the caller ID, and sure enough, it's a family who had just started coming to the church probably a month before
of
this
course
trip.
It was.
And it was their oldest daughter, who was
be them
a
or the
sixth
senior
grader
pastor.
In the group. And he didn't have my phone number, so he had to call the senior pastor to say what happened and get my number and call me. And oh my goodness, I remember – first of all, panicking and being scared to death when I realized I left a sixth grader at an amusement park.
Right.
And then, how am I going to answer this phone? What am I going to say to this guy? Who, and you know, he was good-natured about it. And
To it my, was her fault.
To my credit, it was the young woman's fault. Yes. She's married now, and we laugh about it now to this day, but it was her fault. After she checked in, she went into a store.
See, she probably did the same thing on the way to her wedding. She probably Maybe. Was on her way to her wedding, and she stopped at 7-Eleven and was late.
So I technically lost a kid, but actually never left the park without this child. How about you? Did you ever?
Yeah, I lost a kid on a bus one time.
On a bus? How do you lose a kid on a bus?
It's a long story. Pretty confined. But the kid was literally on the bus. I'll have to tell it a longer version later, but it was a lock-in, and he was a sixth grader, and then we were on the way back to the school to drop everybody off, and he fell asleep and went under the seat. He was sitting next to his older brother on the bus. Everybody got off the bus, and you know, his dad comes up. He's like, "Hey, where's Daniel?" I said, "Well, he was on the bus. I know he was on the bus. I saw him on the bus. He was sitting next to Jonathan, his brother, and he wasn't there." So we waited around for quite a long time, and we called the bus company. The dispatcher called out to the bus driver, and the bus driver checked the bus, and there's nobody on the bus. And I called a couple other families to see if he went home with somebody else.
Man.
And he didn't. And then about, I don't know, 45 minutes later, I get a call back from the bus company, and the bus had returned to the bus depot.
Which was a ways from your school.
It was about 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. No.
And the bus driver had discovered the little boy asleep under one of the seats.
Oh, my goodness.
So I lost a boy on a bus.
On a bus.
Yeah.
That's tough.
A little scary.
Yeah, a little
Freaked
scary.
Out his dad.
No kidding.
Yeah. But as you can imagine. But, yeah, we got over that.
Ugh.
I love to tell that story, though. The only time I've ever lost a student was actually on the bus.
On the bus. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. And it wasn't. How do you account for that? So, anyway.
Did you ever have a kid get hurt on the trip that was kind of scary?
I mean, I've had minor injuries. Stuff. I haven't had anything major, thankfully.
I was on a whitewater canoe trip, and it's all about whitewater canoeing, I guess, but I was on a whitewater canoe trip. This was like a 5-day, like, camping on the side of the river. We're just out in the middle of nowhere, and I had a kid. I told them all to go get some firewood so we could have a fire, and all of a sudden, this group of students comes running back to the campsite as I'm getting dinner ready, and they say, "Hey, Josh here fell out of a tree." First of all, I'm like, wait a minute. Why were you in a tree? I asked you to look for a fire.
There's no explaining those things. They just happen.
He fell out of a tree, hit his chin on a branch on the way down.
Yeah.
A tooth tore through his lip and his chin.
Nice.
And knocked the tooth out, root and all. He's holding the tooth in his hand with a gaping hole between his lip and his mouth. And we're in the middle of absolutely nowhere. And this was a...
Hey, put some dirt on it, man. We got a camping
years
trip
ago,
to finish up here.
No cell phones. So I had to put him in a canoe
and
run down the river to a bar that I knew was down the river so we could make a phone call at a payphone and get him to the hospital. 15 stitches later and he lost a tooth and... It was a scary time. We laughed about it.
I wonder what the parents thought when they saw the caller ID was a bar. Hey, youth pastors calling
from the bar.
Yeah, I got some news for you.
Moment.
Yeah. So, yeah, just a couple scary stories, those moments where you're not quite sure exactly what's going to happen, got an injury or whatever. But
what about you? Were you ever scared? Did you ever scare a student or did you ever get scared by students?
Oh, we got some good stories about that, yeah. So we're in Maryland, right? So there's a lot of Civil War history in Maryland. And our very first church office building before we had our own building was in this old Civil War house here in Frederick, Maryland, called the Landon House. And it's about 250 years old.
Oh, yeah.
There's literally Civil War events in this house. And so we had our offices in this house. And for about 4 years, we actually met for our high school ministry on Sunday nights in the Landon House. So we would transform it into the youth group hangout place. So picture this Civil War era mansion, 3 stories, big porch, balcony, you know, just kind of a grandiose looking building, but very old.
250
very,
years old.
Very beat. And the owner was quite the entrepreneur. He tried everything from barbecues to farmers markets to Civil War reality TV and haunted houses.
Of course he did.
Haunted houses.
Of course.
Yes. So he would literally every October have weekends with haunted houses at the Landon House, where our group met. So there was like stuff all over the house. There was caskets and spider webs and, you know, mass of goblins and ghouls. And it was just creepy.
A perfect environment for like high school ministry.
Nothing like doing worship in the middle of a haunted house. It was just great. Literally, they had a Ghost Hunter TV show come and film in the basement of the Landon House. You can find it on YouTube.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's hysterical. It's hysterical. But anyway, so he would have these haunted houses and stuff. So one year, for whatever reason, I regret this to this day. I'm ashamed.
You told me the story, and I'm ashamed for you.
I'm so ashamed. But we decided to do our own haunted house.
For youth group.
For youth group.
Yeah.
For middle school.
This disc is
for
going,
middle school.
This is going nowhere well.
We had the high school kids help set up this middle school haunted house, and it had like a Christian theme on it.
Oh, how is that even possible?
I told you, I'm embarrassed.
Please send me the file for this, or put the file for this event in the show notes, because I have to see this.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. So I only remember a couple things about what we did, but one of them was we replayed or, you know, dramatized the story of Jesus healing the little girl from the dead. Raising the little girl from the dead.
Oh, this is terrible.
I know. I don't know what I was thinking. So we're taking these middle school kids through the house in groups, and we have these rooms set up, like different scenes. And we got this room up on the top floor. There's the bedroom. And in the bed, we have this person playing the little dead girl.
Oh, Steve.
You know what? If you want to unsubscribe to this right now...
this would be a great time.
And think, why am I trusting anything this guy ever said? This is the time. So, yeah. Anyway, we had this whole thing set up, and Jesus comes out in this scene, and he heals this little girl, and she rises from the dead. But unfortunately, the whole situation was absolutely terrifying to 6th and 7th grade girls.
I can imagine.
Yes, and so a couple of them were, like, bawling their eyes out after this room.
Oh, my God.
That was a very, very bad idea. We only did it once.
Well, kudos.
I've repented since then.
I appreciate that.
It was a stupid, stupid idea.
Yeah.
Glad we're not at the Landon House anymore.
No kidding. That place was creepy.
It was scary.
We used to meet there, and it was. I was creeped out when I was in there.
That's right. That's where we first met, probably.
Yep. Yeah. That's where we had that prayer meeting that we first started.
I mean, there were mice running around, and snakes would crawl in my door, and it was a creepy place.
Yikes.
Yeah. How about you?
You know, I don't know about scaring kids. I'm sure there's some stories, but I know that one time one of my leaders scared me.
Okay.
We were at a camp, and it was way in the middle of nowhere, and we had this hayride, and so I was following the hayride in a truck just so that I could turn the lights on in case there were cars on the road. They wouldn't hit the horses in the hayride. And so I'm just in this truck driving in the middle of nowhere in the pitch dark, and we're coming back into camp, and the hay wagon goes up over the hill into the parking lot, and I kind of was just driving, and I look to the side, and I can kind of see, it looks like there's someone standing in the edge of the woods.
Okay.
And I was like, well, this seems a little weird, so I don't know why I stopped, and I rolled down the window of the truck, and I was like, hey, can I help you? There's just like this figure, and the figure starts walking towards the truck. And I'm thinking, well, I'm sure I'll recognize a leader or somebody from the camp or somebody from our group. And as they got closer to the truck, even with the dim lights of like the dashboard of the truck, I'm like looking, and all of a sudden I realize like I don't know this person. And then I'm like as my eyes are adjusting, I'm looking, and I'm like, and he looks like a torn flannel shirt and a hat pulled way down. And his eyes were sunken way into his head, into his face, and he's holding a gun.
No.
Holding a shotgun. And so all of the terrible movies I watched as a young child, all these horror movies just came flooding in, and I thought,
it was like you're in the middle of a Stephen King novel.
Absolutely. So I hit the gas on the truck, and I just shoom up there, and then I hear gunshots. So now I'm ducking down below the steering wheel. I'm driving. I'm thinking, this person's trying to kill me. And so I pull up into the parking lot, and all the students are getting off the hayride, and I'm literally beside myself. I'm freaking out. And so I think, I just got to go to the cabin. I just have to go to the cabin.
Whatever is next, I got to go. Let the kids there to get shot by the maniac?
There were other leaders around. I was concerned about myself at the time. And I go off to the cabin. Well, of course, the cabin's in the woods in the dark, right?
Right.
So I'm walking up to the cabin. And as I'm opening the door to the cabin, I feel a hand reach around from around the cabin and grab my leg. I screamed like a little girl and ran into the cabin. And I remember sitting down, and there was nobody else in the cabin at the time. And I remember just sitting down on the floor of the cabin, thinking, this is how it ends for me. This is how I die. And I'm just waiting for him to come in and shoot me, because I'm like, at this point in time, I'm defenseless.
You didn't think, why is he after me? of all the people.
I was not thinking about anything clearly.
You were
at that
an easy target, dude.
And so then all of a sudden the door opens and I look up and here's one of my leaders with a old man mask on and a hat and this gun, and he's just shoulders are just going. He's laughing hard, and I was so angry.
That's hilarious.
I was so scared, but I was so angry.
What? That was well played.
Someday I'll tell you how I got back at that person, because I did. Fair play did get returned.
Okay.
But it's another story for another day.
Yeah. Well, my favorite story of scaring a student, it's built into our youth ministry mythology now. It's so funny.
Story lives on in lore.
Oh, my gosh. The kids who were there still talk about it. So we were at this camp. It was a high school camp. There were three or four other churches there. But the way the camp was laid out, there was like the meeting hall and the dining hall and all that. But there were houses that the camp used that were separated from the other buildings. So our group got placed in this house that was, you know, maybe a half mile away. And you got there by walking on this path down through these woods and up this hill. And so,
obviously.
Yes. And so our whole group of guys, there's maybe 15 of our guys there, were by ourselves in this house, okay? So for some reason, that weekend, I didn't plan the whole weekend. I got some embarrassing tales here from the past. But
that's all right.
Yeah, on the Saturday night free time activity after the message was they were going to show the movie Signs.
That's a scary movie.
M. Night Shyamalan movie, right, with Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix, right? And Joaquin Phoenix. And it's such a good movie. I mean,
it's
I love it.
Great movie, but it's a little spooky.
It's a little spooky. Sure. It's a little spooky. So we all leave and go back to the house, except two of my guys stay behind to watch the movie. Now, if you've seen the movie, you know that it gets pretty scary, and there's scenes where, like, the alien is on top of the roof of the house, and you just see, like, shadows of them, and it's pretty terrifying. So we're hanging out at this house, playing cards and stuff, and somebody asks, hey, where are Ben and Kevin? And they're like, oh, well, they're back watching the movie. And it was like this amazing moment where everyone in the room had the exact same thought at the exact same time. No words were even communicated. It was simply, let's go. And everybody jumped up, grabbed their coats, and ran out in the woods.
Time to scare.
And time to scare them.
Oh,
and
hid
goodness. Along the path. And so we're out along on this path waiting for Ben and Kevin to return to the house.
Oh. You guys are terrible.
We are terrible.
You're terrible human beings.
We are terrible human beings. So we're out there. It's total dark because we're out in the middle of West Virginia somewhere. And finally, we see this little light come down the path. Little light.
Here,
little
flashlight. Here they come.
Here they come. We're like, oh, this is going to be good. We're hiding along the trail in the woods. There's guys on both sides. And we hear them coming up the trail. And we can hear Ben. He knows something's up because he's kind of skittish. And he's like, oh, don't do it, guys. Don't do it, guys.
He knew it was coming.
I don't know what happened, but someone snapped a twig, and then someone yelled, and we all jumped out at them, and Ben just screamed like a little girl. We have it recorded. I swear he must have been a four-year-old girl for a moment, and it was the funniest thing. Everyone just died laughing, and Ben basically peed himself. And Kevin,
man.
Oh, my gosh. It was such a great moment. Such a great moment. It's just classic. Let's all get in this together and scare the crap out of somebody.
And now it lives on in legend.
It does. Somewhere there is a videotape, a old videotape of that moment, which I've got to find because it is classic.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Very
good
cool.
Good times. So that was scarier than the little girl up on the third floor of the Landon house.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that definitely is scarier. Let's not put that part in there.
So I hope that you don't meet in a haunted house. That would be good.
And I hope that you have better plans for youth group, if it tomorrow night, then a Christian themed haunted house. Sorry, Steve, I don't want to throw you under the bus here, but I hope you have better plans for that, or better plans than a student showing up in a husky mutant ninja turtle or a naughty nurse. I hope that you have better plans and you enjoy fun times with your students on Halloween.
Yeah, and if you're going out trick or treating tomorrow, please leave the naughty nurse costume at home.
Yes.
Because especially if you're a guy.
It's not good for anybody. Yeah, not good for anybody.
I'm going to cut that out because that was really an inappropriate thing to say.
Yeah.
That's not going in there.
So, yeah. So we... good times.
So if you're going out tomorrow to trick or treat, leave your candy at home.
Don't leave your candy at home. Leave your two small costumes at home. Leave your, all right, try again. Go again, Steve. You got this. You could do this. You're going out trick-or-treating tomorrow.
If you see high school kids while you're out trick-or-treating tomorrow, would you tell them just go home?
Go home. Or go to youth group. Tell them to go to youth group.
Go to youth group. You are too old for this nonsense.
Not be out there for that.
You should be at church instead. Absolutely. You know? So do that instead.
All right. We'll be back next week with another episode of Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Episode 32.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
But until then, Sherpas out.